We've all heard about fast food, but what about slow food? If the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids, who built the Las Vegas Dome? All of these questions you can find the answer to on This Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we dissect a new paranormal mystery and come to a conclusion to decide whether or not it truly is paranormal. The dissection happens every Tuesday by myself and my co-investigator, Kit Greer. Kit, we are back in Northern Ireland right now, recording the podcast. It's good to be home. How are you doing?
It's cool to have you back, man. I've been kind of begging you to come back for quite a while now.
A little bit, yeah.
I kind of been coming up with all kinds of great reasons why you should come back, you know. You should come back and see your family. You should...
Sure.
You know, there's
fine reason, I guess.
It was my birthday. I think Cora's.
Well, guess what?
Christening.
I think you got one of those coming up next year, bud. So it doesn't actually matter if I miss this one.
Yeah. Well, it's nice of you to grace us with your presence back home. I think we're honestly going to somehow tap into the ancient pagan paranormal roots of the island itself, and hopefully channel that into a successful paranormal investigation.
Hey, I think you're right, Kit. Because let me tell you, this one is fresh.
Yeah.
This one, like, listen here, you little sons of bitches. Do you know what time I got up at this morning? 5 a.m. You know when I went to sleep? 4 a.m.
Oh, God.
I got 30 minutes of sleep on a flight.
You're
at 9 in the morning. I just arrived here writing my script on the train from Belfast to the North Coast.
So you stayed up till 4 a.m.,
yeah.
Slept on the flight, and you still didn't have a script done?
Do you know how long the flight is? Do you know how long the flight is?
Like an hour?
It's like an hour. Yeah, I slept 30 minutes. So I had to wake up to get a little coffee.
What were you doing all night?
I was nervous because I didn't have a script. I couldn't sleep.
My IBS was playing up because I was so nervous about the podcast recording.
In hindsight, I probably should have just stayed up and researched the script. But if I had researched this script last night, Kit, I wouldn't have got any sleep anyway.
Because it's that intense or scary.
Terrifying.
Okay.
It's going to change how you think about the world as you know it.
I think I say this every time. Every time Rory finishes a script seconds before we hit record, he's convinced it is the investigation of the century.
Yeah. Every time a script is a Rory original, I claim that it is some unbelievable truth that's going to shake the world. Just because I did a day's work. You're not going to believe this one. Look, I don't want to dilly-dally too much at the start of the podcast. Why don't we just dive right into it today? But first, a reminder that you can get every episode of This Paranormal Life ad-free over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
Oh, we're also going on tour. Remember, we are going on tour this August. Pick up your tickets right now at thisparanormallife.com.
All right, today's case was emailed into us by Bennett Woodhard.
His wood is hard. This must be a good case.
Hey, Kit and Rory. I've been looking into alien cases, and there's a case called Project Plate. From what I found, this small town was tormented for months, night after night. Some accounts even say that people died. It'd be fun to hear an in-depth podcast about this. Thanks, Bennett Woodward.
Fun. That's one word for it.
Sorry, I didn't realize his name is Woodward. Woodward. not Bennett Woodhard.
Where is your brain going to?
What is the
contents of this investigation?
I haven't slept, all right? Which is the perfect way to conduct a paranormal investigation, all right? You need to stay up for as long as you physically can. And then right when you are about to go to sleepy time land, you go... Our story today begins, and you start the episode. The year is 1977, and we're in Colares, Brazil. Outside of the roaring cities, the residents of these small fishing villages along the North Atlantic Ocean were living quiet, normal lives. Local physician Dr. Carvalho drove into work, coffee in hand, ready to kick off another slow day at the hospital. I wonder what I'll have to deal with today. Maybe Paolo got a fish hook caught in the back of his head again. She pushed open the doors of the hospital to reveal pure chaos. Dozens of patients lined the halls, nurses clamoring through the crowds, trying to tend to every patient. Dr. Carvalho cried out. What the hell happened here? Between breaths, one nurse replied, Didn't you hear about the lasers?
Oh, shit.
As Dr. Carvalho made her way through the backlog of patients, she quickly realized something strange was happening in her hometown. She recorded over 40 patients with identical injuries, strange burns on their face or chest, along with triangular-shaped puncture marks. Around the area, the patient's hair had fallen out and the skin had darkened to black.
Good God, man.
Dr. Carvalho couldn't hold back her questions any longer. How did this happen to you? To all of you? The patient's head lowered. Dr. Carvalho, do you believe in UFOs?
Now, here we go.
It turns out it hadn't been a quiet few days in Colares. Because night after night, the residents had spotted strange lights and objects hovering in the sky. They appeared in the evenings, sometimes by the dozen, glowing with mysterious light that pulsed between red, yellow, and blue. Occasionally, they were floating above the villages. Other times, and I know you're gonna love this one, Kit, floating above the ocean, occasionally sinking below the waves.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. I was kind of honestly playing Jungle Run in my mind just to kind of get through the day up until this point. But now that you're mentioning UFOs hovering over bodies of water.
Yeah.
My mind is starting to race. Are we talking USOs?
Hello. And I know my guy over here loves UFOs that are shaped like an egg. Didn't I just say these guys were flying by the dozen?
Nice, dude.
You know? Something to think about. These objects appeared so frequently that the locals kind of got used to it. Until things escalated. The UFOs began hunting people.
What?
So I shouldn't laugh at that. We get a clean take at that. This is a serious case today.
Yeah, was that funny to you?
The UFOs began hunting people.
A man's head fell off in the middle of a busy hospital.
It didn't fall off. He got slightly lasered a little bit. That's it. Have we been doing this podcast long enough that that didn't even make you blink? UFOs hunting people down? And you just looked at me with shark eyes.
Well, you were laughing, so I don't know what's a joke and what's serious to you.
I laughed a little bit, all right? But this is a very serious case,
I think,
okay?
Staying up all night has scrambled your brain's receptors. You don't know what's serious and what's funny.
Villagers reported that during the night, colored light beams of red, yellow, and blue penetrated the roofs of their houses as if they weren't even there. When the lights would hit their bodies, it felt like being touched by the lit end of a cigarette.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping for a split second that this was going to be describing the Holy Spirit. I was really hoping for like a religious twist on all this.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Holy Spirit felt like a lit cigarette.
A hot Marlboro Red. Yeah, I think whenever someone tells you you're going to be abducted by aliens and maybe a tractor beam comes down, you hope you're going to get one of those tractor beams where it's like an ethereal wave of bliss kind of washes over you.
Yeah. I was suddenly unafraid of dying and everything made sense. Yeah.
A calm voice came from the heavens. Be not afraid.
Mm.
And you're like, okay, is it weird I have an erection? And they're like, no, the beam does that sometimes. You're like, okay, cool. Because that was actually going to be a weird thing for me. I was going to have to talk to my therapist about that. If it wasn't normal that I have an erection right now, they're like, stop talking about the erection.
And I was worried that like, if this is my kink, this is hard to replicate.
Yeah, this
right?
is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. Whereas if a beam from the heavens comes down and you're like, this is it, I'm getting beamed up. Kind of hot though, isn't it? You smell chicken? What is that? And it starts cooking your skin. I would start trying to grab onto anything that's nailed to the ground.
Yeah.
You don't want to go up. I mean, this thing, in this case, it sounds like they're not even trying to take you up. They're trying to laser you down.
Yeah, it's not really a tractor beam.
Yeah.
Rory, I just had to quickly check. You mentioned that the laser beams were red, yellow, and blue, and it sent my mind racing as to, does this indicate a potential country that these UFOs might be from? I think a leader of the pack right now would be Romania.
Oh, that's
red,
their flag?
Yellow, and blue flag.
Oh.
Although it does seem as though there is potentially multiple candidates in the running here. We have Liechtenstein. Just shout out if any of these feel right to you being potential aggressors.
But we are in Brazil. Remember.
Ecuador, a little closer.
Yeah.
Venezuela Hello.
Okay.
Just shout out, there's multiple suspects for this crime so far.
If this is what the colors represent, yeah.
Yes.
Little devastated we didn't get a green, white, and orange. That would have been cool.
Would it? I don't want to be...
A couple of Irish aliens.
I don't want our people to be committing intergalactic crimes.
I think it's a little late for that.
I think we were famously pacifists during the Second World War.
Is that true?
Well, no. Irish people did fight in both wars on the side of Britain, but the country itself was neutral.
Yeah, people are like, I thought you guys were pacifists. Hey, we didn't say nothing about lasers. All right? Lasers are fair game. I'm not touching you. I'm pushing the button that fires the laser.
A guy wearing a flat cap and a half-drunk pint of Guinness, probably his 12th. Oh, you didn't say nothing about lasers, young fella. Power up the Death Star. The 12 guys in flat caps.
I thought you said you worked with tractors. Tractor beams. Tractor beams, I said. One of the craziest parts of the story is that these witnesses claimed that when the lasers hit them and they tried to move, they discovered that they were paralyzed, unable to even flinch.
Interesting. I wonder if it's kind of a deer in the headlights thing or there's actually some sort of biological thing happening there.
I think it is a biological thing because they described the strange lights searing their skin as they stood in their homes, open-jawed, eyes unblinking.
That's good. Good to be clear on these things.
I actually have right now some pictures, Kit, that you can see of this doctor examining patients who have these marks on their body.
Wow.
Check it out.
Okay, Rory has supplied me with a couple of photos here. There's maybe 5 photos total. Some are part of a news clipping. Light phenomenon unsettles the city.
There you go.
First image shows what looks like a doctor or a nurse inspecting some kind of cut, burn, or lesion on a woman's skin. Underneath, a bunch of people of all different ages kind of looking, yeah, very in pain.
Yeah.
And kind of, yeah, definitely what looks like at least one person who suffered some degree of hair loss. Absolutely. Something's going on there, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Multiple victims described feeling like the blood was being drained from their skin, which is how the lights got their nickname, Chupa Chupa, which translates to sucker sucker.
Is that why they're called Chupa Chubs?
I think so.
Ah, that makes sense.
Genuinely, I think that is also a nickname for lollipops. So yeah, Chupa Chubs.
And Sucky of course, sucks. Why it's known as the Chupacabra, the goat sucker.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I guess this all is related.
I guess I do speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
No, I mention it.
I like this, giving it a cute little nickname as well. It takes the edge off a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, hope go to bed early and eat your vegetables or else the sucka sucka. The sucky sucky's gonna come get you. And they're like, oh, what does he do? Does he suck on my toes?
Uncle
when I'm
Roger
in bed?
Died. Uncle Roger died last night in his sleep. The injuries finally got the better of him.
Did they suck him? Or yeah. I don't understand what they do. You're telling me. How did he die?
So this isn't a laughing matter. He died by being sucked off. Is that funny to you?
Things got so bad in these villages that the locals tried banding together to find any way to stop the lights from appearing at night. Organizing night vigils, lighting fires, and they even began igniting fireworks, shooting them into the sky to try and scare off the objects.
I like all that. Can I suggest one? 50 years too late. 48 years too late. Mirror.
What do you mean?
This is video game mechanics, my friend.
Oh!
Laser being shined down. They try to hit you. You go, surprise, bitch.
Swing!
You turn around.
I'm going to suck you off.
Yeah.
And you shine the light in their
Grab
eyes.
Grab a mirror, carefully placed, and then it just reflects it right back at them.
Who's the sucker now? And then you hit him with a laser. Yeah, that's some James Bond shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I think could work. I mean, lasers are light,
mm-hmm.
I think. Nah, I don't know if that's true. I don't know, but I think it does work. I did just enough physics at school to think this might work.
The UFO appears and shoots the beam down and you go, hey, aliens, suck on this. Mm-hmm. Whip out the mirror, the beam hits it, the mirror explodes, shooting glass into your face
You're
and eyes.
You're cut in half immediately.
You're obliterated. Yeah. I like the idea of the fireworks. using everyday objects and things that the public can get their hands on to scare off UFOs. I guess the only con is maybe a bit of miscommunication. This looks like a welcoming party. Yeah. It looks like you're actually pretty psyched that they're here if they know what fireworks are.
Right. Yeah. You don't want it to be... this sounds more like the kind of Hobbit festival at the start of Lord of the Rings than some kind of deterrent.
Because if aliens came down and they were like, I feel a bit weird. I don't know if we should actually be here. I don't know. Maybe I'm having second thoughts about this whole thing. And one of them is like, no, check it out. Look, they're doing a whole fireworks display to welcome us. All right, let's go. Let's suck them off then. Let's get down there.
I've got to stop calling.
All right. Latest, they're just like, hey, we're happy to be here too.
Yeah.
Firing lasers like an X-wing down at the villagers. Yeah. Unable to deal with these night invaders themselves, Mayor Jose Favacho decided to reach out to Brasilia, the capital, for help. And their response was beyond unexpected. Within days, the villages were flooded with military personnel, equipped with weapons, cameras, and telescopes. All under the command of one man, Captain Yorange Bolivar Holanda Lima. And while they maintained that their presence was to keep the locals safe, declassified documents revealed that this was part of something called Operation Saucer.
They said it was Project Plate at the beginning.
Project Plate, Operation Saucer. It's got lots of different names.
Right, it was translated into English.
Yeah, it's been Plate. Some people also call it the Colores UFO flap for some reason.
Let's not call it that.
I'm not sure why it's called that. But it goes by many names.
I will say something funny about military men turning up to the town armed to the teeth with guns and telescopes. It's like something tells me if the thing is that far away, the guns are worthless, useless to you.
It feels like they're kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it. Yeah. They were like, men showed up with guns, telescopes, tranquilizer darts, a cage, a giant pack of bananas, and some condoms. It's like, we don't know what's going to happen. We just need to be prepared.
They turned up with a mallet and a microscope. It's like, which is it? What is it? What?
Now, the military obviously wanted to get to the bottom of what was really happening in the villages. So along with interviewing the locals, they paid a little visit to Dr. Carvalho.
Lovely to meet you, Doctor. We hear you've had some strange cases over the last few weeks of mass hysteria.
No, these people are really hurt. I've seen their burns.
Let's try that again. Nice to meet you, Doctor. I heard you had some strange cases of mass hysteria. Am I right?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're a doctor. You're obviously an intelligent woman. I think if someone asked you what you saw, gun to your head, you'd say mass hysteria. You know, gun to your head. Hypothetically, a gun like this one against your head to say what we want you to say.
I assume this is how the conversation played out. I obviously don't have the exact details of what went down.
Unfortunately, the doctor had slept as little as Rory did last night. So he just wasn't really getting the picture.
He said, gun to your head like this one. That's a banana.
Oh, shit. What did I pack in my child's lunchbox?
All I know is Dr. Carvalho said that when she was visited by the military, she was heavily pressured into dismissing the incident as mass hysteria. In fact, a number of cases in particular didn't seem to add up. For example, according to ufologist Jacques Vallée, two people who had ended up in the hospital actually died from their burns. When the doctor checked the death certificate, it officially stated that they died from a heart attack, and there was no mention of the burns at all.
This is a classic in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't know why it pops into my head, but I feel like it's a thing with, let's say, the royal family as well, let's say in Britain.
Right.
A family surrounded by secrecy, privacy.
Yeah.
And of course, for legal reasons, I assume, they have to supply a cause of death when someone dies. But I think the causes of death that they list are notoriously vague.
Right.
You know? And if...
Probably like very preposterously noble or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think the vibe is like, if one of them did happen to get kind of like, you know, shot in the ass on a hunting trip,
right,
they wouldn't list that ultimately on the death certificate. They would say like, died of being too noble. The nobility made its way to the heart and was unfortunately fatal. They would think of something very delicate.
Unfortunately passed away choking on a silver spoon, quite literally.
Yeah.
And
in this case, different but similar. The cause of death is being used to obfuscate something. Yeah. And if you think about it, it's quite powerful. It means that the story is forever changed simply by slipping the guy in the mortuary, the person doing the autopsy, 20. Slip him a 20, he'll write whatever you want on there.
Exactly.
All right. Died of, choked on Pringles, mate. Whatever you want.
Listen, there is no doubt in my mind that I am going to die in some sort of embarrassing, compromising circumstance.
Yeah.
So that's why years ago, I did the exact same thing. And I paid a doctor to use one of my 5 ways I could die as an excuse when I do pass away, to write that on the certificate of death. So, you know, for example, one of them is Rory died driving his motorbike so fast that he broke the speed of sound and the motorbike exploded.
Right.
Or he had to, after saving a bunch of children from a house fire, try and escape the fire himself because his clothes were so badly burned that, you know, they were up in a blaze. And of course, they were burnt in a way that we could see his abs. We could see
such a long cause of death.
His thick
Get
thighs.
Get to the point.
And in an attempt to put out the flames, he backflipped in succession so many times, his head exploded.
Well, sure, but they would just write then head explode, you know. It's
no,
like,
no. I paid him a lot of money to go into detail.
But they're not going
to
write like, died a hero.
He will. That's actually one of them, just died a hero. Yeah. Because I plan on dying as a villain in life, but I just want that to be kind of stricken from the record. Another one of mine that I passed away rescuing a small boy who fell into a gorilla enclosure. And I had to jump down and go hand to hand with the gorilla. Inevitably punching him.
So you did die in the end?
Well, I punched the girl. I saved the boy, obviously. And then I said, come here, you little monkey. And I actually punched him. I beat him. I punched him in the face, though, so hard that the gorilla exploded. And he took both of us with him. Explosion. Monkey explosion.
So every reason that you would have died is just explosion. Yeah. So you, to be clear, just want to live a completely normal life. Don't help anybody.
If possible,
then when you die, rewrite it that you are a hero.
That would be great.
No one's going to believe it. If you're 85 years old, 90 years old, no one's going to believe that you offered up your body.
I think at that point, in an attempt to make it real, as a 90-year-old man, I would just start going to zoos and starting fights with the animals in the hopes that one day I would
start throwing boys in the gorilla enclosure.
I could talk with my family. When's the last time me and the grandson took a trip to the local zoo? It's like, stop it. Stop trying to push your grandchildren into the gorilla enclosure. Could be fun, though. Could be fun.
He's eating his breakfast. I wouldn't eat any bananas this morning. Wouldn't want you to smell like bananas this afternoon.
In the following years, Dr. Carvalho admitted that while the military were in town, she burned all of her patients' documentation to prevent it from being confiscated and suppressed.
It's gone. It's gone now, you maniac. What?
Yeah, I don't understand this one.
What? Bury it in the garden?
Yeah.
What? And then come out 30 years later?
You suppressed it yourself.
Yeah.
I guess
that's what they were going to do.
Probably, yeah. Or hide it away, I guess. Yeah. Maybe she didn't want them taking private patients' health information. So she was like, I'd rather burn it than give it to them. I don't know. But even if the government could have convinced the doctor that this was mass hysteria, it wouldn't have even mattered because not long after their visit, she got hit by the lasers.
Okay. Didn't see that coming.
She claimed to have been hit by one of the light beams in her own home that paralyzed her and left her with the same burns that she'd seen in her patients.
Who gives medical attention to the medical professional?
I guess you can kind of do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if the burns are in a place you can see, then you can just examine yourself and come down on a conclusion.
She's paralyzed. Thank
I forgot about
much.
That. Yeah. Forgot about that. Once the paralysis is gone, I guess you can examine yourself. Believe it or not, the military ended up sticking around for 4 months. During their investigation, they documented thousands of witness accounts, captured 500 photographs, and allegedly even recorded 15 hours of video footage. Which, if true, makes this one of the most comprehensive government investigations into a UFO attack in the history of mankind.
Absolutely. I mean, this also, you know, when we get into these kinds of stories, we start talking about military capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Were the military interested? Because they were worried that this was another foreign adversary's military using technology they've not seen before. 1977, lasers is tough.
Yeah.
Lasers probably existed in like lab settings, but I don't think they were being commercially, militarily used on a scale like this.
No, not even at like music festivals.
No, which is the number one use of lasers.
Yeah, these days. It's very true.
They really shoot those things willy-nilly at a music festival. Do you ever like get hit with one? And then you blink and you can't unsee it.
And
you're like, should I have been wearing sunglasses? Was I supposed to know this was going to happen?
I've been taken down like I was hit by the American sniper. Like I'm just standing there, drink in hand, and a green laser beam blasts me in both eyes.
Chris Kyle hit you with the Jumbotron laser.
Yeah, and it definitely feels like it's doing some damage.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and that thing's not even giving you a sucky.
There's really mad, depressing modern military inventions out there. Do you ever see the like acoustic cannon? I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's really creepy. It's just a really loud amplifier and it plays some crazy bass note.
Yeah.
Basically plays the brown note, except you don't shit yourself. It just destroys your eardrums.
Just blows your eardrums.
But they like, it's crazy to see a video of it online because they like fire it at a crowd and then the crowd just like disperses. But the crowd disperses in the exact like pattern of the sound wave.
Whoa.
So you can see almost what the sound looks like in reality due to the dispersion of the crowd.
Yeah. That's why we've accidentally become kind of super soldiers in the field, is because our hearing is so devastated from years of going to heavy punk rock and metal shows that we'd be standing there. We'd be like, what's everyone leaving for? What's going on?
Yeah, the Pendulum concert 2008.
Oh, yeah.
I've kind of been yelling, what? Ever since then.
Yeah. I mean, you are right. The government is working on some crazy weapons. I remember reading not long ago, pretty sure this is real and not a dream that I had, about a knife that the military had that was like filled with... this is going to sound insane. I'm going to have to Google it before I just say this. Okay, yes, I just had to look this up before I said anything stupid on the podcast. This wasn't a dream. There's literally a weapon called the Wasp Injection CO2 knife.
What?
Which is a knife that you can stab someone and I guess push a button and it injects CO2 into the person's body, like exploding them.
So evil.
Good God. It's a gas-powered knife.
Oh my God. Let's twist it.
It's so stupid. So stupid.
Also, I'm not an expert on war.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's using knives anymore anyway.
No, I don't think so. I mean, which is a shame because they are one of the coolest kind of military weapons you could have. It was like a knife on your arm or something, you know, or on your hip, like a sexy knife.
This is sadly the world we live in, you know. Like every now and again, you'll see a headline that's like, they've now developed bullets that can shoot around corners. And it's like, solve world hunger.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
That would be kind of cool.
Why don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. How about you invent a burger that can go around a corner into my mouth? Now, look, I know what you're going to say, Kit. If they did have, 1,000 witness testimonies and video footage, where is it? Why don't we have it? Well, it's the same reason why we don't know what goes into the 11 herbs and spices that make KFC so delicious. Because if you ever did find out, you'd get a bullet in the back of your head.
That's not true.
The truth is, this was a top secret military operation. These files were never meant to see the light of day. So how do we even know that they exist? Well, because around 20 years after the events took place, a whistleblower came forward to talk about what the military really experienced during those 4 months. And that man was Captain Hollander himself, the leader of the operation.
Oh. Okay, that's a pretty senior whistleblower.
Yeah, that's how bad this was.
That's how bad the military's pension was. He took one look at his payslip and was like, I'm going to squeal. Oink, oink. I've got a lot of stories in my head that are going to go to the press.
I actually have a lot of memories that I really would love to talk about. Are you guys sure there isn't another zero on that pension check? You sure about that? In an interview with UFO Magazine, Captain Hollanda described the investigation. I'll be honest, I'm a little worried this is where I'm going to lose some of you. So just hold on. It's all going to come round.
Rory, you know me. I love UFOs. I've got every confidence in this case. I think we've had a lot of great stuff so far.
Love it.
This guy has a great track record. Yep. He's obviously a serious person. I don't think we have much to lose here. Let's hear it.
He recounted how terrified his men were during their investigation because these paranormal sightings went far further than just objects in the sky. He revealed eyewitness statements that described the UFOs emerging from the ocean and then diving back down into it. Not only that, but also reports of residents being approached by mysterious beings wearing protective clothing who shot colored beams at their heads.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got a ground attack.
Yeah, so the lasers came into the tunnel. What is happening here? Are these beings presumably aliens?
Yeah.
I'm still with us, by the way. Am I closer to the line of being kind of off the case?
Well, come back over this way.
I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
Let me help you out. What questions you got? I can feel them.
So these are aliens?
Yep, these are the aliens.
Wearing bee suits or something?
From the space suits, intergalactic kind of protective space suits, metallic, as we've seen before in many other cases.
Yeah. What are they doing? Neuralizing them? They've abandoned the ships altogether and they're shooting people in the head with lasers. Is it just like, we only got like 90% of them. Guess we need to go down and
get the other ones.
Exterminate the lot.
Yeah. Not exterminate. No one said exterminate. Yeah. No one said that word. Sucky, sucky.
Right.
Is what happens when you get hit by the laser. I think they suck the blood from your body.
Yeah.
So it's not like a death beam. People's heads aren't exploding or popping like watermelons.
It's unfortunate, though, that like at this point, the military have moved in to occupy the village. And now the military is like, damn, it's crazy. There's like guys in uniforms walking around shooting people in the head with lasers. What's that about? must be aliens or some shit. It's like, aren't you the guys in the uniforms walking around with guns? Barging down people's doors.
It'd be so funny to be the mayor or one of the residents in this village and you complain about the UFOs and then all of a sudden there's guys in metal suits storming around the village with laser guns and you're like, is that what our uniforms look like? That's crazy. I don't remember that. And then a bunch of guys turn up in a truck and it's like, hey, you guys called in the military? You're the military? Who the f*** is that? It's like a guy with like 9 arms just executing people in the street with a COD Zombies ray gun.
I thought they were speaking Spanish.
Look, I know this is pretty wild, but not only did Captain Hollanda hear and read about these reports, he had an experience himself. In the interview, he revealed that he'd had a personal encounter with a humanoid creature that was approximately 1.5 meters tall and wearing a strange metallic spacesuit.
Hmm.
He said the creature embraced him from behind and whispered in his ear,
take it easy. We're not gonna harm you.
The voice was strange and metallic. He also claimed to have received an implant in his arm that was visible but undetectable by x-rays. I don't think I would ever assume an alien would come to Earth and say, take it easy.
Yeah. That would indicate a grasp of the language.
far beyond basic understanding. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, chill out. Low key, we're just here to do some bits.
Yeah.
Aliens aren't going to say that. They're going to say something a lot more clinical, you know?
Yeah. Not me invading Earth. You know?
There's a little bit of a red flag. The captain actually drew a picture of the creature that he saw, if you want to see that. This has been declassified.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good start. All right. Could he have spent more than 15 seconds on the drawing, by the way? Like, was he...
His bus was coming.
Yeah, was he in a rush to go somewhere?
They're like, oh, Captain, before you go, we actually didn't get a drawing. Oh, yeah, no, and he looked a little... That's the basic idea. Anyway, I gotta go.
Why is the alien wearing a shiesty? Why is the alien wearing a balaclava? It's where it's got like a little headscarf, or it's got its hoodie up.
Yeah, maybe it's got its hood up.
Yeah. Humanoid for sure.
Well, yeah, eyes, nose, and a mouth.
Alien, little alien almond eyes, little alien slit nose, little alien slit mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure.
You don't have to look at it for too long. I feel like the longer you look at it, the more it hurts my case.
I'm starting to understand why it's not classified. I don't think anyone felt that was a threat to the military establishment of Brazil.
They let him take those files with him when he left. They're like, it's just taking a here.
He was like, you'll never take these while I'm alive. They're like, you could take
it. You could say, all right.
Like, what, really?
It's all right. Yeah, he takes out his gun. Stay back! I'm leaving with the files.
They're like, oh no.
Don't even try and stop me. The world will know what Captain saw. Yeah, they should. Captain Hollander's testimony in 1993 shook the UFO community.
I'm shaken.
Look, whether you believe all of the claims or not, he did essentially confirm a lot of what people suspected took place back in 1977. This was a huge-scale military operation to investigate UFOs. Unfortunately, as we know, disclosing any kind of information like this is a dangerous game. 3 months after the interview, Captain Hollander was found dead in his home.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is a true story. The official conclusion was suicide, but to this day, his friends and family refuse to believe that that was the cause of his death. This is a hot topic in the world of conspiracy theorists. Many believe that it's no coincidence that these events all happened within such a short time period. Whatever the case, Captain Hollander did not die in vain. His testimony only fanned the flames of the paranormal community, with ufologists and researchers fighting nonstop for the government to reveal more of the classified files documenting these 4 months. And in 2005, they finally did. A limited number of Operation Saucer files were released to the public.
Project Plate for our English listeners.
These documents contained witness testimonies, photographs, sketches. Kit, I'm going to show you these declassified files, and you're going to see why we can't go through them on today's episode.
Bit weird to kill a guy and then be like, I guess we can show you stuff. It's not that crazy, honestly. I don't know why we did all that, honestly.
Yeah. To assassinate someone who's a whistleblower, and then people are like, well, it's not going to stop us. We still want the files.
Now, there you go, then.
Fine. Damn it. Yeah, we should have, in hindsight, should have assassinated him before he blew the whistle. Because it's hard to unblow the whistle. These declassified files are all available on theblackvault.com. Great website for declassified information.
Okay.
Kit, there are 58 pages.
Woof, yeah.
Of declassified files.
I would want nothing less. I wouldn't want 2 pages.
I can show you some of these and you can kind of scan through it yourself, but there's just no point in us sitting here and reading through witness testimonies of the people who saw this thing. Because it literally, look how many there are, timed and dated with different numbers, different sightings. There's a sighting. These are all recorded sightings of people that witnessed the UFOs. It goes on for pages and pages. I think there is almost 300 different testimonies from individuals who saw a craft, saw a light, experienced a laser, submitted their own drawings and illustrations of what happened, gave their details. It's an unbelievable... I've never seen this amount of witnesses interviewed for a UFO case before. It's kind of astounding. And yes, I do want Kit to... I've handed him my laptop. I want him to kind of look through the files. I also want to get his fingerprints on the touchpad.
All right.
Because they will come for me. They'll come for both of us now. Because of what I've seen and downloaded.
What have you downloaded?
Mostly declassified government files.
Yeah.
But a lot of shit from Apple TV on Pirate Bay.
Okay.
So I just like stole a bunch of movies and stuff as well.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks for that.
I'm also running Photoshop 98. So the only one I could find that didn't require like activation code. So it's like an old copy, but it still works.
The London Metropolitan Police alarm just went off in headquarters. We've got an American immigrant who just downloaded an illegal copy of Photoshop 98. Dispatch all available officers to the scene.
Get the knives that shoot poison. We're going to take this son of a bitch down.
Bring the sound cannon. Destroy his ears.
So he couldn't even listen to season two of Severance if he wanted to.
This is formatted weirdly, though. Why is this formatted weirdly? Like, this is like all the like color coordination of the text and everything.
Someone's essentially put together a presentation of the declassified files. This isn't hot off the press.
Yeah, why have they? Well, I get that because it's in English, fair enough, and not in Portuguese, but
it's simplified. It's condensed.
I'd also like to see, because I know how the UFO community works, and I it would not be that crazy, and it would be annoying, but not even shocking to me, if they were like, oh, original files are lost. A guy called Carlos swears he remembers it all perfectly, though, when he wrote this English report. But anyway, I take your word for it that the original report is there. I mean, this looks really comprehensive. Lots of drawings, couple of photos, bad photos.
Yeah.
Taken from the scene, and lots of witness testimony.
The witness testimony is insane. You could literally scroll at random and then just stop and point at the screen, and you will have a testimony that's as good as a testimony in any case that we've investigated before. Now, of course, in the wake of all of this information being released to the public, and in the years since the events took place, there have been kind of two main explanations that the government has gone for.
Okay.
Both as ridiculous as the last. First up, we've got the classic mass hysteria. People just lost their minds. Apparently 300 people over the span of 4 months, including military personnel, dreamt it.
I do hate mass hysteria as an explanation.
Yeah.
Frustratingly, mass hysterias have absolutely taken place.
They have, for sure.
So, I don't know. I'm not saying it's top of my list here, but it's not surprising that they would levy this attack on events.
Remember when we all got into fidget spinners for a while?
Mm-hmm.
What happened there?
Pokemon Go.
That was mass hysteria, yeah. Can't explain it. Another one of the explanations was bat bites.
I'm listening.
I guess they thought people had been bitten by bats, hence the marks.
Okay.
And the sucky sucky.
Yep.
And then in their presumably delirious states, imagined lights and UFOs hovering in the sky. Isn't that ridiculous, right? Is that insane?
Yeah.
Because a bat didn't wrap its wings around the captain and said, take it easy.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, look, we're left with clearly some pretty ridiculous logical explanations.
Yeah.
Or illogical explanations. Am I right, guys? For what happened. But the question remains. It's always the million-dollar question. Occam's razor. What is the most likely solution here when we're faced with some evidence, but also a decisive lack of evidence in terms of a smoking gun or that decisive piece of evidence?
Yeah, there's honestly too much in this case, which is kind of annoying because I really don't know what to think about it. There's so much. This is if you read through these files, this is possibly the most evidence we've ever had for any case. Like, there's even like, there's photographs of the lights in the sky. If you just look at the files, doing like crazy maneuvers. Granted, not great photographs.
Terrible.
But tons of them.
Hundreds of
photographs. People like doing drawings of what they've seen. As I said, 300 witness testimonies documented in these files. I think there's video footage, but allegedly that is still in the classified portion of the files.
The lights and drawings make it somewhat unlikely that this is a mass hysteria.
Yeah.
This feels more in the camp of the people believe what happened to them. Now the question is, do we believe them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of wording it. You know what? I don't think we need to go through these files anymore. I think we're pretty much ready to come down on our conclusions. We're essentially caught up. We've heard the story. We've heard the testimonies. Kit, what are you thinking today?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a yes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
Hashtag believe her. Believe the doctor. All right.
Yeah.
It is a really tricky one. I do think it is.
Yeah.
And it's not impossible. We are not at a 100% conclusion rate here of certainty, but we never are in the paranormal because the f***ed up and the whatever live side by side. And you're never quite sure, like oil and water, they mix, but never quite separate. And here we have a lot of evidence, sure, not the kind of 1080p, 60 frames per second video I would like. But in this case, I always feel a compulsion that when we're dealing with this many people, that we have some kind of responsibility as paranormal enthusiasts ourselves to give people the benefit of the doubt, not believe that hundreds or maybe even thousands of people were all mad at the same time.
Yeah, that's very patronizing, I think, to these people. I'm just scanning through these files. There is, they go as far as to like, they've mapped out like, the flight patterns for the like they didn't just see the objects. They have records of like where they went, what color they were, who saw them as they went along those paths.
Well, a little bit like the New Jersey drones this year, it was recurring overnight, so they had the opportunity to track these things.
Yeah, absolutely, and enough witness testimonies. Now, look, I'm not saying that I believe an alien wrapped his arms around a man and said,
I don't believe
take
any of that shit. None of that shit.
That's not what we're here to decide today. We're here to decide.
Honestly, forgot that for a second.
Whether, well, you've given it the yes,
did
so you can't take it back.
But I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that in that either. But I do believe that something unexplained happened here. I believe these people that gave their testimonies. Something unexplained took place. That's why I'm giving it a yes today too.
Whoa! Crazy.
That is a double yes right here on the podcast. I can't believe
that boys give another UFO a double yes.
There's a weird correlation between the amount of double yeses that I give and the lack of sleep I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe we just see how long we can push this.
No.
Let's see how far we can take it. Maybe I don't sleep tonight.
It's a miracle you got through this podcast. You fell asleep. You realize that?
Huh?
When? You fell asleep like 20 minutes in. You started rambling. We had to cut around it like pretty significantly.
Oh, God.
Did I check the clock? We started recording at like 1. It's 4.
Did I talk about that knife from my dreams again?
Yeah, let's just go to conclusions. All right, let's just go to...
conclusions? Let's just, I slept through that?
Let's just go to shout out.
I just dreamt we gave it a double yes. thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Woo! Another double yes in the bag. We've had a couple recently that I'm very proud of. Let me tell you, this case came out of nowhere, but it was brought to our attention by the lovely Brennett Woodhard, as we know. Thank you so much for that submission. Hey, if you want us to investigate a paranormal case, all you need to do is email it in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com and we will check it out. Whether it's one that you've heard about yourself, whether it's a case that happened to you, we want to know about it. That's the best way to do it. Stick like suggestion or case or some word like that in your header or your title, whatever it is, and we can investigate it and possibly cover it on the podcast. And guess what, guys? There's going to be another couple objects mysteriously appearing in your hometown. Rory, Kit, and Phil. Because This Paranormal Life are going on tour this April. We are going to Toronto.
April? Jesus Christ, go to bed, man.
What did I say?
April.
For
it's
what?
It's May.
Oh.
And we're going on tour in August.
Sorry, yeah. So we're going on tour in August.
Just let me know if you need me to drive.
In Colores.
No.
In Brazil.
No. Sadly, none of Central or South America. Only North America.
Oh, okay. We're going...
Don't guess. If you don't know, it's fine.
We're...
Going to...
I knew that. Going to...
Do you remember what coast we're starting on of the United States of America? There's a clue.
Oh, yeah. North.
North coast? Jesus Christ. There is no north coast.
Well, there is if you go high enough, surely.
Oh, that, well, sure, that's Canada.
Yeah. The other one.
I said United States of America.
East Coast. We're going to the East Coast of United States of America this April.
No, this August.
This August.
You're confusing the listeners.
We're going to watch a podcast live.
Holy moly.
What are we doing?
We're coming back to North America. It's been 2 years since we set foot, and this time we were doing a tour that is twice as big. I'm holding up four fingers, but that's two times two. Twice as big. We are coming to the likes of Somerville,
boom,
to New York City,
boom,
Brooklyn, actually,
boom,
I believe Philadelphia,
oh, yeah,
Chicago, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Dallas, and more, as well as Toronto, coming to our Canadian friends.
Yeah.
At the time of recording, I don't know if any are sold out yet. They might be, but go and check it out. If that's you, if you live in one of those areas, you're available in August. Go to thisparanormallife.com and get your tickets.
You can see us do this live on stage with a bunch of beers. It's going to be fun.
And more than anything, it's always an amazing hang. We always say anytime it's tour time, if you're going, I love the podcast, but I can't convince my boyfriend to go, my girlfriend, my friend to go. No one's
break
free.
Break up with them.
No.
Break up with them for sure. If
no,
they won't go, if they don't, what? They
I
don't,
said oh, if they're not free.
They don't listen
if
to the podcast. Oh, I don't want to go because I don't listen to the podcast. Well, sorry for hoping that you would do something that I love. Sorry for thinking that you would get invested
we're,
in my
we're,
life.
We're talking about the same thing. Tomato, tomato here.
Sneak up
still
behind
go
them. Wrap your arms around them. Say, take it easy. And then put a laser gun to the back of their head. That's what I say. Sorry, what are we
I'm
doing
gonna
again?
I'm going to make you a hot chocolate after this. I need you to go to sleep immediately. Just go.
Just go.
Just go to the tour anyway, because it's always an amazing hang. We've had so many stories over the years of people going to shows and being like, hey, I was kind of nervous. Within 10 minutes of going to the show, I started talking to people. I met a new friend group and maybe even stay in touch with them for years to come.
Yeah.
Because the community, so friendly. We're always hanging about and chatting after the shows. It's a really great hang. So grab a ticket if you can. Come see us on tour. And very, very soon, if not already, we should have announced UK and Ireland dates as well. That is coming later this year.
We should call the reviews from people who have seen our show witness testimonies.
Yeah.
We'll be like, we have so many great witness testimonies from the night. Mark, who requested to be remained anonymous. Sorry, Mark. He said it was a really good time and he'd probably come again. It's like, all right, cool. There you go. We can put these on our website, witness testimonies.
Except we're like the general, you know, we're like, so what did you think? They were like, Rory was kind of tired, actually, kind of detracted from the show. We're like, I think you mean
yeah,
you had a great time.
Yeah. We've redacted a bunch of the bad stuff, you know.
But Rory, hopefully you're not too tired to remember this. Who was able to get the first tickets of all?
Our lovely patrons.
Ooh, that's right.
Yes, because one of the rewards you can get over on patreon.com is early access to live show tickets,
mm-hmm,
amongst a ton of other cool bonus content like extra episodes, weekly and monthly, cool merchandise, and of course, your own shout out at the very end of the podcast. That's what we're going to do right now. So thank you to Kay. I like it a lot, Kay. Keeping your cards close to your chest. Just giving us one letter. Who knows what that could be?
Yeah, presumably that's not even the initial of their name. That's like
a
James
letter.
Bond level code name, Q, M.
Yeah. His name is Michael. But he's like, yeah, K.
Yeah.
They're going to think it's Kyle or Carl or something like that. They'll never know. Oh, no, you signed up to Patreon. I actually have your address.
Email address, everything.
Yeah, I've got it all. Yeah, I've got your social security number. You didn't even have to put that, K.
Send a laser. Send a laser to his address.
You're going to get lasered. Thank you also to Brian Griffin. Brian Griffin, named after a mythical bird.
Cryptid. Crazy.
That is pretty cool. We've never covered
family name.
We've never covered the Griffin before.
Mr. Griffin.
It's pretty cool.
Your table awaits.
Because I kind of like my name. I think Roy Powers is pretty cool, I got to say. But you're saying I could be like Rory Dragon? Rory Unicorn?
Yeah. I assume that's your name in the fan fiction that people write online where me and you
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, have you not read it?
No.
It's pretty good, honestly.
Am I a dragon or is that just my name?
Yeah, you're Rory Dragon and I'm Kit Pennyfeather. I don't know why they just picked like old-time names.
Kit Pennyfeather the Twink at your service. Sir Dragon.
And I'll leave it to the
imagination. I don't have to guess what the dynamic is.
Yeah, it doesn't leave much to the imagination about who's top and who's bottom. All right, guys. So check out that fan fiction. No one make that, by
please
the way.
Please don't. Please don't do that.
Right.
That's insane.
We're done here.
Brian, I'm sorry you had to hear that. You got a very cool name. You've inspired us to change our names, so expect different introductions next week on the podcast. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, everyone who supports us on Patreon. Head online, check the link in the description and get some tickets to those live shows. They're going to be so much fun.
Damn.
As always, great to have you here on the podcast, joining us for another double yes. Always feel bad when it's a UFO one, but what can I say? They're so damn convincing.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Hey, if believing UFOs are a crime, send me straight to Azkaban.
Hell yeah. Be careful. If any point this week you see a blue, yellow, or red laser coming down through your roof.
Could be a Romanian or Ecuadorian assassin.
It very well could be. I hope you survive this week and make it to another episode of This Paranormal Life.
Ciao.